WRKC is proud to present the second season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 21st episode, Snow Day.
After spending a couple of days solving a case involving a kid who'd been beaten nearly to death, I was ready for a drink. Besides, I didn't have a case, which meant I could either head to Glenn's or spend the night doing some filing. Needless to say, I left what I could have gotten done today for tomorrow and was sitting in Glenn's by 9. Hey, Glenn.
Harry, is that you?
Yeah, is something...
Thank God. I thought you died.
Why would you think that?
You weren't in here for 4 days. Harry, you can't do things like that to me.
All right. Very funny. Give me a scotch on the rocks.
This one's on me. Seriously, don't do that to me again. I thought it was going to go out of business.
Thanks, Glenn. I'd offered a trade, but I'm guessing you don't have much need for PI work.
Biggest trouble I've had was some guy in a trench coat who lifted 3 shot glasses last week.
You don't say.
Yeah. Ordered 3 shots, sat staring at the door for a good 45 minutes, then up and left.
Some people.
Here's your drink.
I leaned back in my chair and enjoyed the amber liquid. It was hard to believe that I really hadn't been to Glenn's in more than half a week. Still, I had the tension to prove it. A man could only spend so many hours of the day catching bad guys. I wasn't going to stop this break for anything.
Speak. Yeah, you've got the place. Harry Flynn. No, he's a customer. I'll check. Hey, Harry. Phone for you. Want it?
Does it sound urgent?
No, he sounds real calm.
Will the cord reach?
Yeah.
Then I'll take it. Hello, this is Harry Flynn. Who's this?
This is Jerry Feldman. I need your help, Harry.
Look, you may be better off asking the cops for a different PI. Marla Newman's real good. I'm taking a bit of vacation time.
Oh, come on, Harry. I could really use your help.
Wait a second. Jerry Feldman, as in Dr. Feldman?
From the hospital, yes.
For the past 5 years or so, Dr. Feldman had been patching me up for a discounted price whenever I got myself in trouble. He always said that if I did my job right, he'd have fewer patients, so it made some sense. The man must have saved my life a dozen times. All right, Doc, but can it wait until tomorrow?
I'd rather it didn't, but if you can't...
Let me swing by my office and I'll meet you at the hospital.
Actually, on 23rd Street there's a lab, Kaufman Corp. I moonlight doing research there.
I got off the phone with Feldman, finished off my scotch, and headed back to the office. When I got to the door, I paused. Through the blinds there was light, and the sound of voices. I cocked my gun and slowly turned the doorknob. From what I could tell, they hadn't heard me, and I sure as hell wasn't going to go slow walking into my own office. All right, hands where I can see them, now!
Harry, what is the matter with you?
Instead of toughs with guns, I found women with playing cards, and only one of them was hostile.
You can't just walk in like a normal human being, can you? Like I was telling you, he's going to give me a heart attack one of these days.
I'm sorry, Deborah. Wait! You told me you were going home at 7.
Well, I spent the whole day cleaning the place up and I had a poker night. I wasn't about to clean up at home, too.
You can't just let a bunch of people who I don't know sit in my office.
All right, I'll introduce them. This is Bonnie, she's a murderer. Jan's a bank robber, and Wendy here wants to get hold of your papers to do some insurance fraud.
Yeah, just keep them out of the files.
Is he always that irritable?
Especially when he's been drinking.
I picked up my coat and got ready to leave when I realized something.
Are you leaving or not?
Not until I meet your 5th poker player. I heard a man's voice.
Harry, don't!
No, damn it! It's one thing to have women in here, another to have some man lurking around. Did you have him hide under your table?
I'm telling you.
There's nobody here but us.
I nearly put a bullet through Jan as she began speaking. Oh! Must have been my imagination. I've got to go do a case. Solve it. Enjoy your night.
Bye, Harry.
Good to meet you.
Have a good night.
After that harrowing experience, I put on my coat and drove over to the lab. Snow was coming down hard, and even in my car I could see my breath. Snowdrifts and swirling flakes painted the streets and were almost enough to make the night seem less damn dark. The road was already slick, and I had to go slower than I'd have liked to. But soon enough, I was at Kaufman Corp. I let myself in quickly to keep the cold out.
Welcome to Kaufman Corp. Do you have business here?
A young woman in a lab coat was sitting behind the desk with a suspicious look on her face. She looked tired, like she'd been sitting there all night. Piles of paper were scattered over the table without any obvious rhyme or reason. Standing next to the desk was a tall man in a security uniform, with his hand already on his gun. Looks like I wasn't the only one having a bad night. Yeah, Dr. Feldman asked me to come down and look into something.
I see.
You seem awfully tense. Something got you jittery?
If you had my day, you'd be feeling jittery too.
Look, I'm Harry Flynn, a PI. Is Dr. Feldman here?
I'll check if he called for you. Rob, make sure he's not armed.
You've got it.
The receptionist ducked out to check for Feldman, and Rob came over to check me.
I'm gonna have to frisk you.
No need, just a 35.
I should really frisk you anyway. Hand on your head, please.
Look, if I had aims to cause trouble, I'd have caused it already.
Pal, if you don't put your hands on your head...
Mr. Flynn, you can come in now.
Thank you very much. Hey, Rob, My gun?
I think I'll just hold on to it.
Have it your way. I made my way into the lab and found myself immediately face-to-face with Dr. Feldman. He had a gun in hand, but he lowered it once he saw it was me.
Good. I was afraid it might be someone else.
Bit paranoid, don't you think, Doc?
I've got some reason. I didn't call you in because I missed your charming personality.
I missed you too. I was thinking of getting shot just to come in. But seriously, what's going on?
Well, I've been working at Kaufman Corp for a couple of years now. We work on pesticides, detergents, even a little bit of medicine. But, well, you've heard of the war overseas?
Yeah, something with the Germans in Europe?
Mark my words. 3 years from now, we'll be as much in it as anyone else. It'll be the Great War over again. Our lab has been working on chemical weaponry that could be used to assist our troops.
Huh. Way I see things, we can leave Europe to figure it out themselves.
I'm not so certain they won't bring the fighting to us, but that's hardly the point. I was alone at the lab earlier today when two men walked in. They were wearing jackets that looked like the ones security wears here, so I didn't expect it. They knocked me on the head, tied my hands, and got off with a crate of an experimental nerve agent called Tabin.
Can you tell me anything about the men?
They had accents. I think they were Germans. I'm afraid they were working with the Nazis.
All right, and the agent? Tell me about it.
It's dangerous. Even in the experimental form. Powerful enough to paralyze or kill a man. It's in a crate the size of a large suitcase. It'll need to be frozen to stay volatile, so we can hope they don't know that and it's already inert.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Still, we should get it back.
Alright, is there anything else?
They were each wearing a black armband, with a red symbol on it. After they ditched the jackets, that is.
I'll take a look at the jackets, see if I can't find any clues.
Here they are. Be my guest.
They were good copies with a similar cut. No significant dirt on the jacket, and the tags had already been cut out. The outside pockets were empty, apart from the address of Kaufman Corp, hastily written on a scrap of crumpled paper that turned out to be a receipt from Hilda's Restaurant and Eatery. I thanked Feldman and made my way to Hilda's. It was a tiny dive, so I parked in front and took a walk for a block in each direction. Wind spun snow around my ankles and chilled me to the bone, even with my winter coat. The way I saw it, the thieves either had to have a freezer big enough to hold the crate, or their chemicals were already useless. That's when I saw a likely place. A little ice cream parlor with bright windows sat tucked next to an alley. They'd certainly have a freezer big enough, and I'd guess there's not too many ice cream places that stay open past 10 at night. I walked inside and had a look around.
Can I help you with something, sir?
Behind the counter was a girl stepped right out of a movie screen. She was beautiful, with bright blue eyes, cascading blonde hair, and lips the color of ripe cherries. She had the kind of curves that made hourglasses look square. I felt a brain freeze coming on, and I hadn't even tasted the ice cream. Maybe. I wouldn't have thought an ice cream place would be open this late.
More people than you'd think stumble in here after dark.
Well, I could use something to cool down.
Could you? Even though it's snowing outside?
It's far from snowing in here, though.
Adele! Who are you talking to out there?
A customer, Mother. Don't worry.
A hunchbacked, brutish creature came out from the back room, fuming with temper so hot it was melting the sundaes. This woman was the antithesis of this sweet sweets provider and snapped me right back to consciousness. Just coming in out of the cold...
Are you buying something?
I hadn't really planned on it.
Then get out, or I'll beat you with a roller!
She stomped into the back, fuming and searching for a weapon as I backed towards the door.
Are you sure you don't want to buy anything?
I'll buy you coffee any day of the week. Look up Harry Flynn and call me. Good night, Adele. I stepped back out into the cold and turned to walk down the alley. My trip inside hadn't been a complete loss. Behind the counter in the kitchen, I'd seen a jacket that looked suspiciously like one of the ones at Feldman's office. The alley was silent as I crept down it, apart from the crunch of my footsteps in the snow. Then I heard crunches from behind me. Quickly, I turned and blocked a punch from a blonde man with an armband. I pulled back my arm to return the favor when I felt something hard slam into the back of my head. As my eyes closed and pain and cold overtook me, I reflected that it was probably something a little worse than an old woman with a roller.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Snow Day, but first, a word from our sponsor. Honey, I'm home!
Oh, good. I was starting to get worried.
Well, working as a firefighter during the day and a hero cop at night sure does mean long hours.
That's why I made you a good, healthy dinner to keep you strong and able to serve and protect and extinguish.
Honey? I think you left one of your plants on the table again.
No, that's your dinner. It's called a salad. It's good for you.
I spent the first 6 hours of my day in burning buildings, the next six being shot at by carjackers, and this is the most terrifying thing I've seen all day. I'm going back to work.
But it'll get room temperature.
Does this scene sound familiar to you? Does your husband come home from work every day expecting steak, pork, or bacon cheeseburgers?
Yes, he does. What does it mean?
Well, on the bright side, it means he isn't a lousy communist.
Oh, that's a relief. But I still don't have the time to make all these difficult meals. I'm worried about his heart.
Worry no more. From Healthy Synthetic Foods Incorporated comes a new product guaranteed to keep your man healthy and satisfied. It's steak salad!
Steak salad? That sounds horrible.
It is. And you haven't even heard what it is yet! Using patented food coloring technology, we at Healthy Synthetic Foods Incorporated have created the very first salad that looks like a steak. Here, take a look.
I don't get it. That looks like a normal steak.
That's the point, you dumb broad. Using salad steak, you can trick your man into eating healthy because there's nothing un-American about tricking people into doing what you want. Just ask some of our best customers.
My husband has been gaining weight ever since he moved from working in the vice squad to pushing papers behind a desk. It had gotten so bad that he'd come home, tell me he was tired, and collapse against the door. Then I switched him to salad steak, and he lost 40 pounds already. I wonder if that's only because he eats one or two bites.
I didn't mind that my husband liked to eat piles of nearly raw meat until my doctor told me I had developed a horrible allergy. I kept getting him the food he wanted for a couple of months, but then my eyelids got so swollen I couldn't even cook. So I bought salad steak and he eats it right up.
At first, the idea of salad steak sounded horrible to me. My husband likes steak, sure, but I don't at all. Then I learned that they have other flavors, like pork, ribs, and bacon. We have wonderful meals every night that taste pretty good if you pour enough ketchup on them.
Let's see what would have happened with our sad couple if she'd used salad steak.
Honey, I'm home!
Oh, good. I was starting to get worried.
Well, working as a firefighter during the day and a hero cop at night sure does mean long hours.
That's why I killed a cow for you and stuck half of it on the table.
Boy, that sure sounds swell. And that steak looks delicious.
And it's everything you need to stay strong, because I'm proud of you, and we're not communists.
Huh. Where'd you get this steak? It tastes kind of funny.
Here, stick some A1 on it.
Much better. Much better. I'm so glad you stopped trying to feed me salad. Salad is what my food's food eats.
And it's not what you're eating right now.
I love you, honey.
And I love America.
Call in now and we'll send you a free carton of salad ice cream with your order of 20 plus meals. Call 1-800-RED-MEAT. That's 1-800-RED-MEAT. Paid for by the Communist Party of America.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I woke up with a mouthful of snow and a feeling like a car crash in the back of my head. I felt my neck and found the cold had stopped the bleeding fast. The legs of my pants were torn, probably from being dragged over ice to wherever the hell I was. Another dark alley, this time on a snow-covered tarp next to a dumpster. I slowly dragged myself to my feet and leaned against it while I tried to get my bearing.
All I'm saying is that we'd be safer moving the agent to a different location.
Stop being paranoid. One man starts snooping around and you're acting like a schoolgirl. Besides, he didn't have a badge. He's not a cop.
I ducked behind the dumpster and reached for my gun. Of course, they'd taken it, so I started looking for some kind of bludgeon in the alley.
It could be he just didn't have it with him. Or he could have other people working with him.
Maybe just some American cowboy who thinks he'll run in alone and fix everything. All of these idiots are the same. They think they can fight back an army alone.
Well, maybe not an army. But two cowards who fight from shadows should be easy. I slammed a short length of metal against one of the mook's knees, and he went down hard. The other had his gun on me in a second, and took a wild shot. Between the swirling snow and the dark, the lead went wide.
Hands above your head. Drop the weapon now.
Not in your life.
Mine!
He fired again, but not before I had my hand under his elbow. With my other arm, I slammed the metal rod into his face. He went down like the price of ice cream in December. God, I need to stop thinking about ice cream.
You killed him!
No, he'll be fine. Well, assuming he doesn't freeze overnight. And assuming you answer a couple of questions for me.
I'm not telling you anything.
How's that leg feeling? Because if I didn't crack the kneecap, you may be walking in a couple of weeks. But the longer I stand out here in the cold, the more of a kneecap cracking mood I'm getting into. Now where's my gun?
On the counter in the back.
I'm not quite done with you yet. Is it locked? Guarded?
Yes. Here, take the key. You won't be able to get in anyway. You got lucky out here, cowboy.
Yeah. I'm sure I did. I considered knocking him unconscious, but it's hard to predict head trauma. As it was, he wasn't going anywhere, and I had the keys to get in. I slipped back into the alley and carefully unlocked the door. The back of the ice cream parlor held a small table, a couple of cabinets, and three guns aimed at my chest. Even after procuring my assailant's pistol, that wasn't the kind of odds I like to play. My hands went up.
Very good. I didn't even have to tell you. Keep those hands up.
And no funny business!
Guess those years at clown school won't do me any good.
Quiet! You will speak when spoken to.
I should take this opportunity to get some speaking done, then. The leader of the trio eased back the hammer on his pistol.
Perhaps you do not understand how serious of a situation you are in.
I don't think you do either. The three of you and everyone in this parlor is a dead man.
The only dead man I see is you if you don't zip your mouth.
Let us hear what he has to say.
I kept my hands in the air as I began to scramble for a trick. The chemical agent you stole has very specific needs in order to be properly contained. I don't suppose you checked with the doctor.
No, we did not.
There was no need.
Suddenly, the third man was feeling talkative. He was thinner than the other two, with a pair of glasses on the tip of his nose that he seemed to like glaring through.
A compound such as that is similar enough to other nerve compounds that my experience was more than enough to inform our containment.
Oh yeah? In that case, where do you have it stored?
In the freezer. It had to be kept frozen.
Don't be a fool. He's trying to trick you.
What temperature is it at?
Why would that matter?
Doctor, what temperature?
Don't listen to him. He doesn't know.
What temperature are you keeping the agent at? I will not allow this mission to fail because of your ineptitude.
-6 degrees.
Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
It's not nearly cold enough. Damn it, you idiot! The gas probably seeped out hours ago!
Is this true?
The captain and private lowered their guns as they turned on the doctor. He, however, kept his gun pointed directly at me.
Of course not. The American is trying to fool you!
Let me see the crate. Just for a moment. I can tell you whether it's leaking or not.
Private, keep your gun on him. Doctor, open the freezer.
Yes, sir! No, this is idiocy!
Do as I say, or I'll inform your superiors.
The doctor scowled back and moved to the freezer. I followed slowly after, being sure not to make any sudden moves. He opened the top slowly and reached in to pull out what looked like a very heavy silver suitcase. Carefully, he placed it on top of the freezer.
Is it leaking?
I stepped forward to the crate and very gingerly ran my hands over the top of it. I then picked it up carefully and turned to the three. Drop your weapons or I'll open it. For a moment, they tensed as though ready to fight, but then hesitation. Apparently, they knew what the agent could do. In truth, I wasn't entirely sure, but I wasn't feeling apt to find out.
I told you, you imbecile!
Now I'm gonna take my gun and leave. You're gonna stay right the hell where you are.
How far do you think you're going to get before we catch up with you?
Hopefully far enough. I understood now why two people had been sent to get the crate. It was even heavier than it looked, so I needed to use my right hand to hold it up. I picked up my gun with my left and backed out the door. The second door was closed, I heard orders being barked. I sprinted for my car through the snow that was rapidly becoming a blizzard. Oh, come on, come on! Turn on! Work! Finally, the engine turned and I slammed on the accelerator. As I peeled through the snow, a smooth black car came into my rear window. Promptly afterward, a bullet did. Damn it! Cold air and snow rushed into my car as the glass shattered. My hands gripped the wheel tightly as I tried to lose them, turning quickly around corners while praying that my wheels would stick on the slick surface. All the while, gunfire registered from behind my car, punching holes into the metal. Then I made a bad choice. A turn brought me into a dead end with only 100 feet or so before a wall. For a second, I attempted to calm my nerves, then I snapped into action. I shifted into neutral, turned the wheel a quarter turn, and slammed on the emergency brakes. It wasn't the first time I'd reversed quickly, but spinning over snow is a hell of a lot different from spinning over pavement. The car lurched, spun, and I slammed the car back into drive as I straightened the wheel. With a hit to the accelerator, I slammed nose first into the oncoming car. What happened next, I'm not entirely sure of, except that it involved a lot of broken glass, lancing pain in my forehead, and me stumbling out of my car faster than the other guy.
I've had enough of you! Make your peace, American guy!
I pulled back my fist from punching the sneering man's face and leaned against his car. As snow swirled around me, I slumped down slowly and lost consciousness. When I woke up, I was warm and greeted by white light.
You know, when you said you thought of visiting me, I didn't think you meant right away.
Who's that? God?
No, but I did just perform a miracle of healing.
Feldman?
Exactly. Now quiet down. Nurse, bring me some more gauze and 2 more painkillers.
Coming right up, Dr. Feldman.
Why does everything hurt?
Because you were pistol-whipped in the back of the head, dragged all over the road, got major whiplash, and even managed to have a car crash in which you attempted to catch every last bit of your windshield with your face.
That'd explain it.
Doctor, I checked Mr. Flynn's charts and he had his painkillers 2 hours ago. He can't possibly have more.
Those are for me. He'll be unconscious in a couple of seconds anyway. You'll see moments of lucidity like this in patients that have lost a lot of...
I woke up the next morning to find Deborah sitting in the room.
I see you had a good night, Mr. Flynn.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing quite like fighting off Nazis.
It's pronounced Nazis.
However it's pronounced, they have hard faces. My fist hurts almost as much as the rest of me.
I picked up your mail from the office. A thank you note from the baseball player, an electric bill, and another of those weird letters.
Weird letters? What weird letters?
The ones with the guy who wanted to meet you. I still can't understand why anyone would want to. I wish I hadn't.
You're just saying that because you're worried. It's sweet. What's it say?
It says, Mr. Flynn, I'm sorry you weren't able to meet me at the Ledger, and I'm getting concerned that you won't ever be meeting me. Maybe I just haven't found an appropriate place yet. Next Tuesday at 4:30, why don't you meet me by the bank on 14th Street? I truly do want to meet you, and I'm afraid I'll never manage to get your attention.
Huh. I really don't know what to think about that. Maybe if I get through this, I'll go meet up with him. If I remember. And don't have a case. And I'm sober enough.
The doctor said you should be all right. You'll need to spend a couple more days under supervision, though.
As long as they pay for my scotch.
I don't think that's included. By the way, Travis is here to see you if you're up for it.
Yeah, send him on in.
All right. I'm going to get some sleep. Poker night went late.
Whoopsie doodle.
Damn it, Spinelli. Can't you manage to not run into things in a hospital?
It's not my fault. I have an inner ear thing. And at least I didn't total my car.
What do you mean you didn't total? Then it dawned on me. Crash like that, even a car in good repair is unlikely to last through. Damn it. It's wrecked.
Completely. I could hardly recognize it as your car when I saw it.
Wait, you found my car?
Oh, yeah. I was in the area and I got a call about shots being fired.
So you know what happened after I was out. Tell me.
We got to the scene and saw that your car had crashed. I radioed in for an ambulance for you and then the men in the other car. When we were checking your car for bodies, I found that crate. Almost opened it, too. Luckily, Dr. Feldman was here and explained what it was.
The other people?
Two of them are in critical condition. The other ought to make it. Of course, planning to manufacture chemical weapons to use against United States citizens is the kind of crime that ensures they'll be spending a good long time behind bars.
That's assuming they don't end up in the morgue.
Exactly. You did good, Harry. I mean, Murdoch wants to talk to you again about acceptable force, but you may have saved hundreds of lives.
Feels good. It's not often you catch the bad guy before he does anything wrong. Over the next couple of days, I rested in the hospital as a good 30% of my car was carefully extracted from my body. I asked if it could be put back where it belongs, but apparently I was going to be taking a taxi for a little while. Can't be helped, I guess. The girl from the ice cream place swung by, but she wasn't able to stick around. Deborah came every day to deliver my mail, but it was mostly bills that didn't strike me as too important. After all, how terrifying can a bill collector be to someone who's held death in his hands?
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Snow Day, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Randy George as Deborah, Ice Cream Girl, and Flavorful Wife. Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn. Jennifer Momenzada as Bonnie, receptionist, wife, fitness wife, and nurse. Drake Nesser as Dr. Feldman, Mama Ice Cream, commercial announcer, Nazi One, and Private Nazi. Lucas Tomasacci as announcer, Jan, Rob, Dr. Nazi, working man, and Officer Spinelli. Mark Zurich as Glenn, allergic wife, Nazi number 2, and Captain Nazi. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all your Harry Flynn-related needs.